Today, we're going to continue on what we titled Greatness Non-Negotiables. And we began this on Wednesday. And when we say non-negotiable, we are talking about what are the things that if a person will step into greatness or will emerge into greatness, those things cannot be overlooked. What are those things? Are you following me? We talked about some on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about some of them today. But before we look into it, let's look at Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. So I will do a recap of what we talked about on Wednesday and go into today's emphasis. Songs of Solomon chapter 2 from verse 15. Can we put it on the screen? What does it read? 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, if you read it in King James like this, you don't get the point. You're like, what do you mean, take us the foxes? What is that? So read it in, can you give me NLT? And then we'll also look at it in New King James Version. Now, read NLT with me. What does it read? 1, 2, 3, go. Catch all the foxes. Those little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of love. Now, the context was love, but you get to the point of what he was saying, take all the foxes, right? He says, catch those foxes before they ruin the vineyard. Now, New King James. New King James says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. So, we mentioned on Wednesday that this teaching is not because we are not spiritual. That we are talking about greatness does not mean we are not spiritual. Neither is it because we don't want to emphasize spiritual growth. It is because God has led us to emphasize some of these little foxes that spoil the greatness, the vine of greatness in our lives. Are you with me? Are you with me? Some of the things we talk about, they may sound, or we have been talking about, they may sound like common sense. But like I've told you before, common sense is not always common practice. Like some people say, common sense is not common. It may sound like common sense, but for the Bible to devote a whole book, the whole book of Proverbs, nah, it's not something to ignore. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So on Wednesday, we began to talk about what are those things that cannot be overlooked if a person will be great. And we mentioned number one, responsibility.
Responsibility.
Responsibility is, like we said, these two words put together. Responsibility. You have the ability to choose your response. You can choose your response and not decide to blame anyone. I won't go too deep into it. I will encourage you, go back and listen. Responsibility says, if it will be, it is up to me. Are you getting this? The second thing we talked about was teachability. The ability to be taught. You can accept to be taught. You can accept to be trained. We said it is training that brings treasure out of trash. Training. One of the major blessings you can have as a person is the ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn. See, it's a very important thing to say, I will learn this thing. You put yourself down and I will learn, and you learn. Are you getting this? And the final thing we talked about on Wednesday was discipline. The ability to put yourself under pressure to get something done. And we'll continue from there this morning. Say after me, discipline. The ability to put yourself under pressure to get something done. See, no amount of anointing and grace for success works until you walk. We said on Wednesday that laziness is so slow that poverty soon overtakes. It is so slow that frustration soon overtakes. You know, people that work with me, one of them was talking one day, he said, anybody that says being a pastor means you don't have work, go and work with Pastor David. just come and work with me for 2 days. Then who know, go know. Some of our pastors, sometimes I don't know how to apologize to them. I'll say, come and join me, let's pray for 5 minutes. They will tell you, don't believe him. You can be there for another 1 hour plus. Are you getting this? Discipline. You put yourself under pressure to get something done. You cannot act the way you feel. Just based on how I feel. You cannot act the way you feel and fulfill your destiny. It's not possible. If you are waiting to feel like acting, you may wait forever. Like I've said in many years ago, you are more likely to act yourself into feeling than to feel yourself into acting. Are you getting me? You are more likely to act yourself into a feeling than to feel yourself into acting. Let me tell you something here. Anytime you see a thing make consistent progress, that you see them from stage to stage, they are going, level to level, they are increasing. Somebody is paying the price of discipline to keep it that way. Are you getting me? Because human beings, we don't like to keep on doing and paying the same sacrifice again and again. No, at a point, you just say, let me just take a vacation. Let me just rest. Now, and I believe in rest. I'm not saying don't rest well or destroy your health or something. But you must know things that are worthy of your discipline. Are you with me? John chapter 9 verse 4. Jesus speaking. He says, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. I must walk the works of him that sent me. That's the sound of a man of discipline. I must. Say after me, I must. I must. You know, some people, they say, why didn't you say, I was just tired, I slept off. You can't keep on going that way. I didn't feel good about it, and I just. Proverbs 14, verse 23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Like I said on Wednesday, church, show walking. Show walking. In all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Let's look at something. Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 7. This one will touch you because of the way it touched me. I know it is the long time you heard this verse. You may have heard it last when you were in primary school, Siaruke. Or maybe you heard it last in one Sunday school. But let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. When they start sending you to go and learn from ants, when you are no ant man, you know that there is a serious problem. When God starts telling men to go to ants to learn from ants, it says, go to the ants, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Verse 7. It says, which having no guide. Okay, let me, since we are all on New King James, let's go there. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Nobody is shouting at the ants. Nobody is instructing the ants, but the ants has enough sense. Are you with me? Hey, the energy is very quiet. I know I'm shooting shots everywhere. Please, but don't let it injure you. I came in peace, but you will not end up in pieces. Amen. Amen. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? When will you rise? Now, there are some of you that this is not for you. Some of you, you are working hard. All you need is the favor of God. Are you with me? Yes, sir. You are putting in, you are grinding in there. You are hard working. But the people that know it is for their, you are hearing what I'm saying. Some of them are online. Some of them are on site. Some of them are passing by. When will you rise from your sleep? You know, there is a way you will sleep and you wake up more tired. Your body is telling you, you are giving me more sleep than I can take. So now I have worked hard to use the remaining. Now, see verse 10. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. When people read this thing, they don't really get it. He's saying the way armed robbers break into a house with guns, that's how poverty can break into a man. They just ambush you. You know, let me tell you something. People think that the church, all we do when we teach, when we want to talk about prosperity, is about giving. Listen, let's assume giving is like sowing a seed, right? Let's assume giving is seed sowing. When it's time for harvest, what do you do? If you sow a seed and it brings forth corn and maize and you have harvest on the farm, when it's time to harvest, do you sit down and wait for the harvest to come to you? So if you sow a seed, you go to the farm with your basket and you begin to harvest the crops. The same way, when you've given or you prayed, let's assume you have sown your seeds. What about your harvest? You have to go out, work, and get the harvest. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is in the place of hard work, as you are tilling the ground, you begin to see the harvest. Amen. 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 Encourage me in this teaching because I know that I love you. Amen. Amen. You know, even this is the thing. There are many churchgoers, they believe that, okay, after I give and give, or when I pray, somebody will just walk up to me and say, you know, I was just moved. I lost my peace. Receive billion naira right now. Say amen. But that type of miracle is called manna. Listen. The kind of miracle where you have nothing to do, it just happens. It fell from heaven. It's called manna. And manna only happens when God knows that you have no other option. Like it happened to the Israelites. They were in the wilderness. They cannot farm. They cannot go back to Egypt. So God has to rain manna from heaven for them. Guess what? When they got into the promised land, that day was the last day they saw manna. God now told them, till the ground, and I will bless the ground for thy sake. That means as you are working hard and receiving produce from the ground, you will not think it's all about your efforts. God's blessing will be coming through it. So that means even though God can do miracles, he wants you to live by principles. So throughout the time in the wilderness, they were living under miracles. But a day came when they got into the promised land, and then he wanted them to live by principles. Many people, when they see miracles, they now begin to hate principles. That's not God's style. Have you ever heard this argument that was one time ringing on Facebook that babies do not come from God? Who heard the argument? That it's not God that creates, it's what men do. They don't understand the way God is. Do you know what it means that a man and a woman will come together and sleep together and another human being will be created? That's a miracle. Yeah. That is a miracle. But God made it in such a way that it cannot be replicable as a principle. Are you getting me? So principles are not the enemies of miracles. And miracles are not the enemies of principles. You must learn to function with both of them together. Are you getting this? Because there are other people who slept and did not come. There are other people who labored and did not see the results. But I pray for you, your hard work will produce results. Your hard work will produce results. In the name of Jesus. Discipline also means self-control. You will say, it's not everything that calls your attention that you must go to. It's not every fine baby must say, you can't marry all the beautiful girls in this world. Somebody said that, I was talking sense to a young man. You are dating a very beautiful girl. You saw another one say, what is this on God's green earth? No, it's on God's black earth if I nod you. Discipline says you will control your appetites. You get your salary like this. You know that 2 pieces of your salary has finished. But you say, no, something must kill a man. Enjoy. Man must work. Man must. Then after, by 5th of the month, you're like, only you can do what no man can do, Jehovah. And your angels say, we see you. When you chop that pizza, be you control your appetite. You say, no. A day will come where 10% of your money can buy 50 pizza. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. Better say amen. Do you know how much pizza? Go and check Domino's. They will tell you 32,000. You know yourself. Are you following me? You learn to control your appetites. Control it. And that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Where you say, I can endure. You know, many people are praying for more, but they have not been diligent with what is in their hands. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Not will be faithful in much. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. The little that God has given you, what have you done with it? How faithful have you been with it? If you have ever read Matthew 25 from verse 14 thereabout, you will see Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a man that called his servant and gave them talent according to their several ability and went on a long journey and came back. And the one with 5 talents produced 5 more. The one with 2 produced 2 more. The one with 1 went to hide that one. Maybe that's why he was giving one, because the master knew his ability. He knew that he would not do anything with one, so they left him with 1. And guess what happened? The one that he did not do anything with, it was taken from him and given to the guy that already has 10. You know, it's funny. When you meet many wealthy people, they are working harder than people who are poor. It's funny. They're like, guy, the guy who is taking on pleasure seldomly has it. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I'll be faithful in little. So that means from one, let's assume you were given 1, all you have is that small job, that 50K job. Take it serious. Discipline yourself. That small business you have, show up on time. Has it not happened to you before where you were on your street, you wanted to buy something, and you came out to one shop on your street to buy the thing. By 10 a.m., the person was not there and you were angry. Has it happened before? And you were angry. Where is this person? And maybe you wanted to buy something and you just got too angry. Then why is this person not here? 10 a.m. I know it's a small shop. Show up. Show up. Be there. Are you following me? Be faithful in little. Some smile, do the job well. I think this is a good time to change it for bank, this bank cashiers. You go to bank, someone will be acting like you're the one that cost them. Ma, please, I have a challenge. Customer service, I have a challenge. Write your account number there. Ma, I'm not the one that cost them to demote you. I did not say you should say that. They may settle the 5 outside. Be faithful with it. They will just be acting anyhow. You don't know. The thing about it is that you don't even know how your favor will come. You don't know how your blessings will come. You don't know who God will touch. Can you tell your neighbor, just be faithful. Just be diligent. Just be disciplined. Amen. So number 2, we're going to repeat something we said last week, but this time around, we're not going to talk about it as a foundation. You know, last week we talked about it as a foundation. This time is a non-negotiable. Say after me, excellence.
Say, shout it with a loud voice. Excellence.
Excellence.
Now, excellence, we are talking about undeniable quality. Or better put, undeniable high quality. Undeniable high quality. See, I used to tell people, many times, excellence does not need to be defined. It defines itself. There is a way, a place you will enter, you will know that these people, they have sense. There is an eatery not too far away from here. All they sell is akara and bread. Every morning, if you go there and see the kind of cars that are packed to buy akara, bread, and pap, you'll be wondering. See, they start selling from 7 a.m. to like 1 p.m. And they roll in a lot of money. When you go there, you will now know why. It is like the same akara you eat, but when you see the way the place is arranged, you will see the arranged. They have menu. They will tell you, do you want sausages added to your, do you want this? Do you want shrimps? You can see the excellence they put in. That's why the big men can go there and eat. Somebody else will say, I will just stand by the road with my bowl of this thing. Mama, get you. You can start from there, but not remain there. Even if the big man wants to buy, he will hide. He will send his son. Because he doesn't want to be associated with that kind of thing. But a person of excellence will continuously improve. You need to write that down. That kind of excellence comes by continuous improvement. High quality. Say after me, high quality. Let me tell you, everybody, excellence is a language that everybody understands. It's a language that every one of us understands. Continuous improvement and attention to small details. Fine details. Why? Okay. People say, it's not about, it must not be too classy. It must not be too, I just want to watch something that will get the job. It's a lie. Why are you praying for a better car? I thought you said just want something that will get the job. I just want a car that will move from where I am to where I ought to be. There is a difference between motor and car. You know it. Are you with me? Years ago, I used to make some funny statement that I will never make again. Ah, God, have mercy on me. I said, why would somebody just carry 20 million and go and buy a car? The day I drove a brand new car, I said, wallahi. Sagros kapina kufini maha. Yeko. Hey! You match the brake. It's as if it is connected to the sensors on your leg. My God. You can feel the car saying, take it easy. Life is not that hard. Excellence. He used to define itself. And excellence comes with high quality. And I'm here to tell you, if you will ever be great, you must be known for high quality with something. Run a rough scan in your mind about anybody who you know as great. There's something they do with high quality. They do it with exceptional quality. Whether it is pastors, whether it is businessmen, whether it is, I made up my mind years ago that I was an engineer, a practicing engineer in the oil and gas field. I said, God, when God began to call me, I said, God, I want to be the kind of pastor, any day I open my mouth to preach and talk anywhere, somebody does not need to listen to me twice to think I'm serious. You don't need to, the person should not listen to me twice to decide if I'm serious about what I'm doing or not. And in all sense of humility, it has been so. It has been so. When I knew that, truly it is so, was when my fellow engineers, people who don't believe in God, they started calling me and say, I like your preaching. I say, once I'll just go YouTube, just the watch. And they will message me and say, Devo, my guy. I say, you bless me. Oh. These are people that, if you preach to them, you cannot carry woman too much. Repent. Now they are calling you that the word of God is entering them. Ah, God has, you don't know what God has done. High quality. Say after me, high quality. You are a tailor. You will sew the one. Somebody will say, my leg no be pass. You say, you don't fart. It's a lie. You did not measure the thing well. Every time, the lady will be like, this cloth safe, this tailor. So another person will sew that thing. When they wear it, it's like, wow. How did this person just get this thing? Are you getting me? You, somebody sews to the soldier part, the soldier part is going like this. Every time you do the suit like this, it's going like this. Do this suit like this, to go like this. And you want the person to come back. Oh God, my angels hold the person down. Hold the person down. Even if the person had a dream that you're the tailor, you say, God, I will not go back there. Lord, please don't send me back. Let me tell you, see, all of us, we know what excellence looks like. Oh. All of us. There is a way you will tell a tailor to do a job in your house. He will do the job. You say, ah, this guy, come back. Come back and do this job again. I too love you. We know what excellence looks like. Somebody, you cook for somebody. The person eats. See, God, God, I beg. Me, I no die. Oh, please. And that person, as they taste the soup like this, they say, anybody that cook this soup, you will live long. You will born twins. The person becomes a prophet because of food. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 15. The Bible says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Ah! Put it in King James, old King James. 1, 2, 3, go. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go into the city. He knoweth not how. The PT, the one that, I don't even know whether I should swear for them, mechanics. They fix something that they lose out from your car. When they lose it back, three bolts are missing. They say, okay, you know the move. It's there as it is. Say, okay, what of the other bolt that the white man puts there? Say, it must not be there. It will still hold. Sir. And truth be told, it will hold, but the day you need that thing, it will fail you. Because the human beings that created it and put those bolts there, they knew why they did it. Say, don't worry, it will work. It's working now. Is it working? It's working. If the car is moving, Abby, it's moving. Can't. Okay, there's nothing wrong to be a car technician. Be a car technician with distinction. Be a car technician with excellence. And let me tell you, when people's resources get to the level of excellence, they will go for it. When their resources get to a certain level. So, you know, years ago, when we're starting church, and God began to provide for us, we began to put lights and put things in the church. Somebody asked me, why are you trying to overdo? I said, I've not started. You're saying I'm overdoing. I said, if you want to reach the world, you have to make your standard very high so that you can cover every level. You have to make your standard very high. I said, everything you see us do is not luxury. As it stands now, it's just normal. Let's do Karina. When you want to do luxury, even you will come and say, Pastor, this. How? You too do. I'm not that. Amen. Amen. So, you have to pay attention to the know-how. He knoweth not how. Learn the how. Stop assuming. Ask questions and learn. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Don't assume. And after you learn, you keep improving. Okay. Have you not noticed all these apps you use, they keep on improving? Go and look at Facebook 10 years ago on Facebook now. You can see that there is dramatic change
Look at Instagram 10 years ago and now. Dramatic change. They keep improving. They are studying everybody. They are studying their consumers. They are studying the people following them. They are studying how their users use the product, and they are improving again and again. And when I see those things, I'm like, these guys. Then somebody else, the way it has been, so shall it be. I am from the rock that can never be moved. Okay. That's scripture. That's God, not you. When God does a thing, you cannot improve on it. You cannot improve on the sun. You cannot make the sun better. But you must improve. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. It says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge. Or let's use New King James so that you don't get confused by that word whet. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10 says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge. Are you seeing that thing sharpen the edge? That's improvements there. And one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Go back to Old King James. Old King James says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Tell your neighbor, I can improve. Even in your walk with God, you can improve. As a Christian, you can improve. Your prayer life of 10 minutes, by next day, you should go to 20 minutes. Are you with me? Okay, all your years as a Christian, you've never won a soul. This year, improve. Win 2 souls. Get better. You go born again to now, your offering is 100 naira. 100 naira. Every time, 100 naira. You have been faithful. Lord, you drop it. Your blessings have increased, but your offering is the same. How do you want to get a better offer? Sorry. Improve. Tell your neighbor, improve. Improve. Continuous improvement. Continuous improvement. There must be problems you are solving with high quality. And that will come with continuous improvement. I have a lot of tech people as spiritual sons and daughters. And when I hear them talk, I can feel their pain. One was complaining to me, said, this guy is a farmer. This guy is a farmer. He says he's a developer. He says he's a programmer. All he knows is C++. What kind of thing is that? You are still there. And all you know is Python. I only know how to use Python. Let it not bite you. People have advanced. They are learning new programming languages. They are getting into AI. They are expanding their territories, their skill set. You are still there. Playing with snakes. A man called Will Durant said, we become what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. So that means if you will become excellent, you have to work on your routine. You have to check your life. What am I doing every day that will improve me? Even if it is small, check all this iPhone 12, iPhone 13, iPhone 14. It's one small thing they will just change. iPhone this Pro Max. They will change one small thing again. iPhone something. I'm sure before this year end, because we'll soon have iPhone 20. Because every time they like releasing something new and they will change one small thing. Add one feature here. So you have to work, have a routine where you say every day, I'm going to learn something new. Or every week, how am I going to improve this business? How am I going to improve this stuff? How am I going to improve in my office? Okay, I work 9 to 5. What will I keep on doing that the people in my office will say, this person knows what he's doing. You are a plus to that office. Proverbs 22, verse 29, it says, seeth thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men, not average men. He shall stand before kings. Okay, you are doing something the same way, the same style, and it's not giving you results. Let's go back to the drawing table. How can we do it better? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know about David. 1 Samuel 16, verse 17 to 18. Let's put it on the screen. Now, when we talk about David, what everybody thinks about is that David was anointed king. And so the anointing now empowered him to kill Saul. And the anointing was what made him come before Saul. Yes! The anointing was what made him come before Saul to start playing the harp. But there was something about David's skill of playing the harp that made him to be known and picked. 1 Samuel 16 from verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Look at, it's not that he can play. He can play well, well. He can do it well. Are you getting me? And bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord of the team. So, what brought David before Saul initially was not just that he was going to kill Goliath. It was that he was good on his harp. Oh. You know, when you read the Bible, there are some gaps in the Bible you need to ask yourself. Why is it that? Can you imagine Saul's reaction when the guy that was playing harp for him was now the same person standing before him saying, I can use a sling? You may never have thought about that. That the same person that was brought to his past to play harp for the harp for him so that the evil spirit will leave him was the same person that came to his front. Maybe that was why him and the king could have a discussion. Because you're not just going to a war camp and go and talk to the king. He must have had a relationship with Saul before. And how did that happen? It was because he was good with the thing first. So, even though he was anointed king, God looked for a skill that was very bright among his skill set and brought him forward. Okay, now, if God wants to make you meet the president, what will he use? If God wants to bring you before Donald Trump, what will he... Think about it. What can he pick from your skill set that will be so strong that will get the attention of Donald Trump? See, until you start asking this kind of questions, greatness, Oti law. Is far. He's asking, what can I do? What do I have that has been sharpened so much that will get the attention of people that are very far away or that seem very bigger than me? Are you getting this? And don't even think it is far. People are watching you. People know you more than you think. People know you more than you think. Oh my God. Don't think that that small thing you are doing. Just be excellent. People are watching you. One day, I and my wife, somebody, a man of God, had a dream about me and my wife. And he was so touched because he has not seen me in a long time. And we don't really know. But he said, because of what he saw, he was bent on coming to meet me. So when he came to see us, he told me that he wanted me to come and see his father in the Lord. His father in the Lord is Apostle Femi Lazarus. And so I was like, are you sure? Am I really open to go and start seeing big men of God? He was like, please come. I just want you to come. Come. You must follow me. So I was like, okay, let's go. So I went. So I was going there to, I was thinking, how will I start saying, okay, my name is David. I pastor a church. I've been in ministry for about more than 5 years. I was thinking of how to introduce myself. Only for me to enter the office. And he's looking at them. He said, is this the person you told me about? He said, I know him now. Is he not David? I wanted to faint. He said, I watch him on Instagram. Hey. Wait. You watch me. He said, you sing too now. I follow your page. He said, great work. Great guy. He said, follow this guy. Follow him. He knows what he's doing. I and my wife looking at ourselves like this. Okay. The person they wanted to introduce me to them.
What I'm saying is, you are not as hidden as you think.
Yes,
just keep improving.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And finally for today, resilience. Say after me, resilience. So we have talked about discipline. We have talked about excellence. I want to end on resilience. It is the ability to keep pressing through in spite of obvious challenges. This one, our generation needs it. Hey! Tell your neighbor, have some spine. This one, we need it so much. Every little thing, I'm overwhelmed. Every little thing, my mental health. My mental health. What is it? Somebody did not smile for them. The person just boned. You don't know whether the person was trying to hold himself from polluting. You don't know. He just said, "This guy, my boss did not smile for me today. Ah, what's my life about? Eh? What's my life? Eh? Resilience is another word for determination. That you will keep on going. Tell your neighbor you will keep on going. You know, one lie many Christians have embraced is that if God is leading you, there will be no challenges. That, if it is God, it will be smooth all the way. Let me tell you something. See, God will guarantee you safe landing, but not smooth voyage. Was it not Jesus that told his disciples, "Come with me, let us go to the other side"? They entered the ship and there was turbulence on the ship. And Jesus was sleeping inside. They came and met the master. "Don't you care that we perish?" Maybe they would have said, "Master, this journey is not in the will of God. That's why we are having this problem." Nobody can be more in the will of God than Jesus. For the fact God sent you does not mean you will not face battles. It does not mean you will face battles. Let me show you something. Look at Genesis 26 from verse 1. Genesis 26 from verse 1. It says, "And there was famine in the land." Please, can you read on? "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. And I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed as the stars of heaven.'" So God told him he will bless him. Verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in that land." Rush to verse 12. "And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." That's your testimony in the name of Jesus. You are waxing great. Oh, I need a louder amen. I said, "You are waxing great." Can see myself coming to do groundbreaking ceremonies for many of you. Come to dedicate your car business. Come to dedicate your shops. Are you with me? Coming to dedicate your international baking business. Coming to dedicate all those things God has put in your heart. In the name of Jesus, you are becoming very great. In the name of Jesus. Now, look at verse 14. "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." Verse 15. "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." Let me explain to you. In those days, there were no boreholes. There was no government water supply. All the drinking water you had in those days were the wells. So, when they get to a place, the first thing they do is to dig a well. And now, because of envy, in the land where God blessed Isaac, they came, all these enemies came, and they poured sand into the wells, closed the well. It's just like saying, "We want you to die. No drinking water." Have you ever dug a well before? Oh, sorry, it's not. No, you have not. If you have dug a well, raise your hand. Ha! Those are strong men. You are a strong man if you have dug well before. It's not one day something, though. It depends on the place. Some places, you don't go too far. If you're in Port Harcourt, if you dig small like this, the water itself may carry you. But if you're in Abuja, Kasongo, they will have to bring, you know, that those machines. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what would have Isaac said if it is this generation? When the people start fighting Isaac, they'll say, God has left me. Meaning, maybe I'm no longer in the will of God. I thought this was the land that God said he would bless me. Now, see what is happening. I don't think I'm in the will of God again. I think I've missed it. Isaac did not miss it, but there were challenges. And guess what he did? He digged again. Now, look at verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Verse 19. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the headsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headsmen, saying, the water is ours. You were not there when they were digging. Now we have dug the water. You say the water is ours. Human beings are interesting. Interesting bunch. And so he called the name of it Esek. Are you following me? Because they strove with him. Verse 21. And they dig another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Some of you, you say, why is it that every time I dig a well, somebody will come? It's just two times so. But in your mind, you say, every time I dig a well. Say, what if I'm cursed? Sometimes you are not cursed. You just need to be more determined. And they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. You are stepping into Rehoboth in the name of Jesus. Why is it that it's the guy that I like? Somebody have already married him. Don't worry. Love again. Why is it? Why? Love again. And for people in relationship, I want to tell you, is it that mindset? You know, when people have a breakup, they have this feeling like, I will never find another person like that person. It is a lie. You will always find somebody better. The best of God is never in the past. Your ex is not the best. See, this is, I think it's a prophetic word for somebody. Your ex is not the best. The best of God is never in the past. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes, because people feel like, they need to go back to something that was better, you now go back to bondage. You know how you were crying to God, deliver me from this relationship, deliver me from this guy. Now you are delivered, you want to go back. Okay, somebody, white guy. So there are still witches too. So, it's not only wizard, it's both sides. Tell your neighbor, dig again. So, dear believer, I want to tell you, prepare for tough times. Prepare. Prepare. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, if you pass through the fire, he will be with you. So there are some things that God will not remove you from. He will allow you to pass through it because he's with you. You will pass through it. Prepare for tough days. If you were around last week's service here, we had a challenge at the point in the service. And the protocol, very smart of them. They said, Pastor, should we evacuate everybody out of the service? I said, don't worry. Let's quench the issue first. And we stayed. You know the funny thing? God had showed me that in a dream and I prayed. Rose up in the spirit, prayed about it, canceled it. And when the devil saw there was no space again, he brought matches. Small thing, I'm giving up. No! You know, Kai, you must know how to keep on going. When everything else says quit. When everything else says quit. Because in life, now listen to this. In life,
there is always something called a tipping point. Say after me, tipping point. If you have ever fetched water into a bucket before, and maybe it is coming by, like drops, it gets to a point where the bucket is completely full, and all that is left for the bucket to overflow is one drop. Have you seen something like that before? You see, that point where all that is left for one drop to come on it and it overflow is called the tipping point. Many times people give up when they are tipping point. All you just needed was one drop of effort and they will be overflow. For instance, in 2 Kings chapter 5, the captain of the Syrian army, Naaman was leprous, and his house help told him, go and meet a prophet in Israel called Elisha. He will tell you what to do and be healed. Naaman went to meet Elisha. Elisha told him, go and dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan. He got there, dipped himself the first time, nothing changed. Dipped himself the second time, nothing changed. Dipped himself the third time, nothing changed. The fourth time, the fifth time. If you were Elisha, maybe he would have been thinking, after the fourth time, some things will be falling off. But the Bible says, after the fourth time, his body was still rough. And somehow, as it was before, until he did the seventh time, then the Bible says his body became as fresh as a baby's own. Sometimes, you think that, okay, people think that in life, okay, if I'm really making progress, I'll be seeing small progress. Then before, sometimes, it's called quantum leap. Sometimes you are doing everything until you get to that tipping point and boom, everything changes. Can you stay until tipping point? Say after me, I will stay until tipping point. And I want to add, on this issue of resilience, before you become resilient, be sure that you're on the right track. Because determination only counts when you're on the right direction. But once you are sure you're on the right track, fire on. You know, we talked about teachability, the ability to learn. And on my YouTube channel, I've been doing this teaching on how God leads. So if it means to take you time to pray and fast and find out where God wants you to put your efforts, find it. Once you find it, we live here. We will be here. And we will make sure it works. Praise God. Philippians 3 verse 13. Were you blessed this morning? I know it was a long teaching, but I came to plant some codes inside of you. Plant some codes. Philippians 3 verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not. Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. I'm not convinced. Start again. 1, 2, 3, go. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I press. No, I didn't like the way you said it. 1, 2, 3, go. Read it with a loud voice. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Even in spirituality, you need perseverance. Have you ever been praying before and you have prayed for 1 hour and after 15 minutes you felt like this prayer is dry? I am just tired. You are just praying. Then after you've stayed there for 40 minutes, it seems like that's when Jesus walks in. You need perseverance. Resilience. I pray for you. You receive some more spine. You receive some more strength to persevere. Can you begin to pray right now? That Lord, this greatness, non-negotiables, become my lifestyle. From my walk with the Lord to my business, to my dealings with people, it becomes my lifestyle. I am resilient. I don't give up. Maybe this is for you trying to give up. You want to pack up that business and God is telling you, there is still hope for you. There is still hope. For some of you, you begin to develop new skills of discipline. You become stronger in discipline. You become more excellent.
You are strengthened to improve yourself consistently. There is a change beginning from this moment. The seeds of greatness are sown into you right now. The seeds of greatness are sown into us right now. Atakapala kapala gabandege belegeze sekelia satire. Shembreketelia. The seeds of greatness are sown into us right now. Oh shalamande leketelia. Lord, we are raising mighty men and women. We are raising giants. Giants. Zakapala tapala teketelia. Giants are rising from this place. Captains of industries, spiritual giants, men of power, men of influence.